both of you. If you would, turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 4th chapter. 2 Corinthians 4th chapter. And verse 16, we want to read there. It said, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but things which are not seen. For things which are seen are temporary, but things which are not seen are eternal. Paul makes a contrast here between that which people think is really important is a lot of the time not really that important. That if you would talk about the physical blessings versus the spiritual blessing, which one is more important? And he's trying to get us in that mindset, realizing that while we may see things, that's really not the reality of the situation. And so I want to talk tonight about distinguishing reality from what is real. When I was growing up, a lot of the programs on television were Westerns. You had Bonanza, you had the Big Valley, and I remember some of those. And the programs today are all black and white. You have the TV Land or something like that type of channel. And then they were replaced later on by medical kind of shows. And they got replaced by sitcoms. And today, though, if you turn on television, you'll find there's a lot of programs that are what they call reality television. And as you think about reality television, you can name off a whole slew of them. In fact, I thought about, okay, just kind of putting a list up here of all these reality TV shows, but I decided just to do, The Bachelorette. I talked about them a few weeks ago. And then you, of course, have The Bachelor. You have the Kardashians. And by the way, I had to really look hard to find a Kardashian picture up there that I could put up there. But there are people that watch that show because of the reality TV, that are involved in Big Brother, which I don't know if I ever saw a program of that, but I guess it's still on. People still watch that for some reason. The MTV, The Real World, again, I had no idea what that's about, but The Real Housewives, and there's a whole slew of those. New Jersey, Atlanta, wherever you want to name, Hackensack, New Jersey, whatever. But they're places that people watch or are from, and so they have these shows. And I got to think about those others like Little People, Big World, or John and Kate Plus 8, which is probably like 8 or 9 years ago. And all these reality TV shows, and I got to look at Wikipedia as far as different categories. And categories such as documentary style. There's extraordinary people. That's incredible. And real people, which are like 10 or 20 years ago now. Historical recreation, science. And I would assume that Mythbusters would be involved in that there. And some other scientific type shows. Dating shows. Law enforcement, which are Bad Boys. I'm not sure that's the name of the show, but that was the theme song to it. Rescue military. And then categories such as makeover, lifestyle change, and makeover, I guess some of those would be the type of shows where carpentry, taking a house and changing it. Fantasies fulfilled, docu-soaps, starring celebrities, I assume the Kardashians fall in that category. Video cameras, hidden camera, those of my generation remember, candy camera. And that is, you had a camera, you hid someplace, and you put people in various situations, and you just see how they would react, not knowing people are watching. And listen, reality game shows, reality playoffs, American Idol being involved in that, other type of game shows, the race, basing race, town searches, all these here would be involved in that, as far as reality television. And be kind of careful, I realize that not all reality TV shows are exactly the same, so kind of understand that part of it. But some of them are what I would call kind of the shock reality TV or the shows that are trying to push the envelope. And people want to get on those shows. They want to become rich and famous. And a lot of times when they do that, there are results of that. Some of the results is they may have some fame, but it's for a few days. It doesn't last forever. 6, 7 years ago, if I ask you what's one of the main reality TV shows on television, I doubt very seriously if anybody could name it, the number one reality TV show of that year. But it was Duck Dynasty. And that's the guys with the beards. Where are they now? You know, so a few days of fame. People often feel abused and used. They're placed in situations that they're made to look funny, or that they're made to look bad. And after, again, it was over with, the fame is gone. It may be the tearing down of cultural norms. And so that it used to be taboo, or suddenly talked about in front of a nationwide audience, and it almost seems as if it's trying to say, this is normal. Well, I was at Big Old Tires the other day. And I know I'm sure what the program was. They had Dr. Phil, which was bad enough. But right after that one was another one on the television there. And I kept on thinking, you're talking about this in front of a national audience? I mean, you're talking about your family problems. You're talking about your intimate life. Details about your husband-wife relationship in front of a national audience. Well, that scene is, kind of, again, tearing down the cultural norms as part of what's happening down. And therefore, they're always looking for the next thing to become the next big reality show, the next thing to push the envelope, if you would. And so these are the results of that. I got to think about, in 2009, there was a, just show you how far people go to get on television, that there was a situation called Bloom Boy. And that's out in Colorado, and he had a family. They had built a hot air balloon, and supposedly what happened was that the balloon got loose, and inside of the balloon was their six-year-old son. Okay, so they call police and say that's happening, and for a number of hours, the television cameras were rolling, just watching this balloon, and a lot of things happened that they had to stop air flights near where this was at. And eventually, though, the balloon landed. And when the balloon landed, guess what? Balloon Boy wasn't inside the balloon. Balloon Boy was actually in the basement. And the reason, because Dad had told him to stay there. And so all this was a hoax. But the result of all this was a number of things. Again, they had a few days of fame. If I asked you before just giving that information, have you heard of Balloon Boy, ever knew anything about it? I dare say nobody would say yes. I remember that. But that for about a week or two, that was big news. And then also, there are people that watched it. Again, they felt as if their time had been wasted. There are people whose lives were disrupted by it because, again, there were people in jets that were trying to fly and to monitor this thing going on, and keep other airlines from actually getting near it or some from running into it. The Denver airport was shut down for a time period because of it. The boy was told a lie by his parents. I told the basically that he was trying to play hide and seek. They didn't know where he was when actually they did. The next day interviews, the boy got sick on television, threw up because of all the stress he's under. And eventually the father had to plead guilty to this hoax. And there were certain things that they had to do. I think he had to spend 9 days in jail. He had to do 100 hours community service. They had to agree not to make any money from this episode. They had to agree to pay $36,000 back for the rescue efforts that was made. And they had to eventually write a letter to all the people involved saying they were sorry for what they had done. Now, I said all that because, again, reality television is something that really, when you start thinking about it, what's the lesson we have to learn from this? And one is that a lot of reality television really isn't real. Okay, we you know, people get all involved. It's kind of like my Aunt Melody. And my Aunt Melody grew up with her, and she would watch General Hospital. And she would watch One Life to Live, and Days of Our Lives, The Edge of Night. And the reason I know all those programs is because we only had one television. Okay, and so every day during the summer, she was watching those programs. And when she got off, the programs ended, you know what she did? She got on the phone to talk to her friends about what that program was going on. And he realized after a while, she really thought that guy was really cheating, that they were married, and he was cheating on her. And the fact is, it's all script. You know, it's all simply make-believe. And so when you look at it, we have to realize the same thing goes about this reality TV, as a lot of it really isn't real. You have to understand that. And part of the reason is because of the makeup of the shows themselves. For instance, one thing is that you have cameras there. You know, whenever Regina and I, we watch Amazing Race. And you stop to realize that every place they go, you have to have a camera. That's why we're seeing all this. And the camera itself changes how people act. The O.J. Simpson trial. That was televised nationally. And there's been arguments in favor of putting cameras in courtrooms. And one of the arguments against it is that because once you turn on cameras, people act differently. And that was true in that case there. The lawyers for both the prosecution and defendant, they start wearing different clothes. They start playing up to the camera. The judge actually started changing how he did things in the courtroom. And so it changed simply how they act towards one another. And cameras have the ability to do that. Another is money. There's money involved in those. And again, it changes your lifestyle. It changes what becomes important to you, what you're going to spend money on, as often the case there. And then also editing, in that we get to see the worst of things. And that generally was what happened to these shows. It may be a case that with a couple, Amazing Race, they may not have two bad words say each other all day, but you don't see those two bad words. Because that's what builds tension, is what builds suspense. Now let's face it, most people really don't live that exciting life. I mean, if they decide we're going to do a reality TV program on the Tuckers, you know, that'd be a pretty boring show. Me going out and picking tomatoes in the morning. And the other things along that line. So we have to make it exciting. So the editing is done so as to make it look more exciting also. And then also, we wind up then with a TV version of reality. That's what actually happens here in this situation. And so when you think about this, we have to realize that there are a lot of things in life that people think is real but not really real. And so as you think about that we get from television general, but also the reality shows, one is that a lot of these reality shows make it seem as if you want to be happy, all you have to do is spend more money. The lifestyle of the rich and famous, just go out there and spend our way to prosperity and happiness is often the lessons people learn from these shows. Okay, buy more things, spend more money. You never see a reality show that involves poor people. I won't say never, but most times it's not involving them. And the Bible says, basically, that if you're not happy before you buy something, most likely you're not going to be happy either after you buy it. In fact, buying things can actually lead to the problems. Proverbs 20, verse 7. The rich rules over the poor, and a borrower is servant to the lender. That you can weigh yourself down with debt. And again, there's stress that you don't have to deal with if you have a lot of debt. So just keep that in mind. You're not going to spend your way to prosperity and happiness. Also in Philippians 4 verse 11, we look at that passage there. And there the Apostle Paul talked about as far as how he had lived his life of being content. And we talked about that this morning some. But again, if you look at verse 11, he said, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned whatever state I'm to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need." Paul wasn't going to allow the physical things in his life to determine whether or not he was happy or not, or content. And so he had grown beyond that. When you look over 1 Timothy 6 and verse 8, 1 Timothy 6 verse 8, the thing we mentioned, 1 Timothy 6 verse 6 this morning, and that is content with godliness is great gain. Well, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 8, and there it says, "And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." And the basic necessity of life. If you want to be happy, you look at people that have these things and understand that really is real. Okay, so that's one thing here. Another is the fact that a bottle or a pill cannot solve your problems. Now, I guess some of these reality shows that you think, okay, all you have to do is live a more exciting life, but party it up more. Be more flamboyant. I guess the Kardashians would be kind of that kind of category right there. And so go out there and just take more drugs and get involved in more recreational type of drug use, and you'll be fine. You'll be happy. Well, no, that's really not what the truth is. In fact, a lot of those people that are really living kind of miserable lives. And again, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 23 or 21, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty. I have not known somebody actually become better because of drinking or because he's in drugs. It goes the opposite direction. And so it just has to keep in mind that a bottle or a pill or going out there and just partying it up is not going to make you happier. Not going to give you a better life, I'll put it like that. And in fact, in Galatians 5 verse 19, we said the works of the flesh are evident, which are, they have sorcery there. And verse 20, and sorcery is connected with the use of drugs in order to have hallucinations. It was what we today, to get that high where you see things. And then verse 21, drunkenness. Again, you look at those things and you realize that people are in hospitals because of the use of drugs, the use of alcohol, and their lives are a mess. And so that's not going to make you happier just because you have a bottle or have a pill. But happiness is not because of those things. And also, you look at it, another reality is, you have to learn that one can destroy their family and still be happy. Because, again, these people are trying to become famous. And a lot of times what the result of that is that they tell intimate parts of their lives, again, for that fame, and somehow they think it's not going to come back and haunt them inside their families. And so you have maybe, again, husband and wives betraying one another, or children betraying their parents. And you have to realize the Bible says that the family relationship is fundamental to our happiness. Now, I would interject here that our relationship with God is number one. Okay, your relationship with God is going to determine how successful and how happy you are in life. But the second one is also the family relationship. And that you find me somebody that's happy and I find you somebody that has a good family relationship. They get along with their parents, they get along with their children. Those things make us happy. And so the Bible talks to us about that in Proverbs 11, 29. He who troubles on house will inherit the wind. You want to have problems? Tell everybody else about your problems at home. Complain about your spouse to everybody else. Let the whole world know how you've been betrayed by somebody inside your family. You won't have problems, that'll create more problems for you. You look at another passage, Proverbs 15, verse 27. He who is greedy for gain troubles his own house. You want fame and fortune, that's actually what you're after. Again, if you're hurting your household, you're creating a lot more problems. And so, again, you just kind of have to realize that betraying one another is not going to make your life better. Now, when God created man and woman in Genesis 2nd chapter, verse 24, for this reason, man shall leave his wife, leave his house, mom and dad, and be joined to his wife. But that is God's recipe for happiness there, inside the home. Now, that's the lesson we learn from this here, is that a lot of what people think is not real really is real. And this kind of irony of it, because a lot of times people look at things and they say, you know, that's not the way people are. Yeah, well, yeah, it actually is the way people are. Let me give you an example I'm talking about here. Is that there was a show, and they got criticized for it because they actually had, and it's called Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire? Okay, they had one guy, a millionaire, and I don't know, 25 or 30 young ladies, and they wanted to become, they wanted him to propose to them. And that the whole show was about that. And actually, at the end of it, he did ask somebody, and it didn't work out. But they got criticized later on because this guy, the millionaire, you know, this guy owned real estate. He owned apartments. And he, whenever they had things that break down, like they had toilet problems occasionally, you know what this guy did? This guy actually went out and did the work on his own apartments. He actually fixed the toilets. He would actually go out and paint the apartments. And not only that, but also he drove a car that wasn't a flashy car. He drove a car like 7 or 8 years old. And not only that, but also he didn't hang out on the beach or take exotic trips someplace. He wasn't going flying over the country. That he was simply working. His average day was he would go and work that day and then go home. Now, that doesn't make glitzy television. And that's not when somebody says, you want to marry a millionaire? Most people have other things in mind. They don't envision a guy that's going to be a plumber. Okay? And so, because of that, they got a lot of flack by that. But the fact is, that was reality. That most people that have money have it because they work hard. And because they're frugal, because they don't spend and waste a lot of money. And so, when we look at this, we have to realize that that reality are things sometimes what people don't want to accept. Bill Gates, in 2008, gave a commencement speech. And in a speech, he basically said, here's what reality is. And so, among other things, he says, life's not fair. Get used to it. Not everything's going to work out the way you want it to. He also said that the world won't care about your self-esteem.